Thank you, Brother Steve, for that tremendous prayer. That's just what we want to talk about a little while this morning. Our brother prayed at the beginning there, I think I caught it right, that, you know, we have all these things during the week, all the business and all the bills to pay, and it's a lot goes through a week, a lot of visiting, but we come together on Sunday mornings to fellowship together. Be encouraged, strengthened a little more by being together with those of like precious faith. To me, that's wonderful. We want to look for a while at the Lord's Prayer, but before that, I want to spend just a little bit of time about our praying. In Luke 18:1, it says, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart, not to give up. Keep praying. You know, sometimes I wonder, if we don't just say prayers, we don't really get down to the nitty-gritties and really pray to our Heavenly Father. Another scripture says, pray without ceasing. Another scripture in Psalms says, give thyself to prayer. You know, there's many things, there's many people, even in Pleasant Hill congregation, that need prayer. Let's pray. Let's pray. We even ourselves need a lot of prayer, don't we? But sometimes I think we place too little emphasis on prayer. Let's remember Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer that Jesus taught. In Luke 11, one of Jesus' disciples was so impressed by Jesus' prayer that he asked, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And Jesus gave a model prayer. Now some brothers and sisters feel that we shouldn't use this prayer at any time, or maybe just once in a service. The brethren through the years have decided to use it at every prayer. And Pleasant Hill has decided to. And according to Luke 11, there's a danger in simply saying the Lord's Prayer. In some churches, the Lord's Prayer has been dropped altogether. And I know there's some in this congregation that think we pray the Lord's Prayer too often. And I'm not here to question that. But I just would want us to look at the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, just a little closer, that we might appreciate this prayer a little more. I think Jesus taught the basic principles of prayer in this little gem. This is part of God's Word, and we want to look into this a little more. In a factory, in a sign above the certain machine, it was said, if the threads get tangled, call for the foreman. One day, the operator was operating this machine and the threads did get tangled. And he tried desperately to fix things up himself. He thought that was the best. He said, "I tried my best to fix it up by myself." But when the foreman came along, he said, "You know that doing your best means call for the foreman." Doing our best with life's tangled threads means calling on the Lord Jesus for help. Prayer is important. We know it's important. I hope we do. Now, there's a few people who think that praying is silly. But with a few rare exceptions, people want you to pray for them. People in a deathbed. In a deathbed or had a bad accident. They want somebody to pray. For most people do want prayer. And we need to be men and women of prayer. We believe it's needed often. We're not like maybe those rare few, but we believe that we need to have prayer often. We need it often. Who of us would not admit that prayer at one time or another has caused us to not give up and quit? Stay with the Lord. Stay with the church. Stay with the people that are trying to live right. Prayer changes things. We see that different plaques in people's houses. Prayer changes things. But I want to tell you this morning that prayer changes us. Prayer changes us too. When the disciples asked, "Lord, teach us to pray," and I borrowed this from Brother Harold's book on prayer. He had a booklet, a Bible House booklet on prayer long ago, some time ago. He says the Lord didn't teach us to preach, or he didn't teach us to sing, but the disciples asked, "Teach us to pray." Only Jesus can teach us to be men and women of prayer. The Bible has quite a bit to say about prayer. We could just spend the time this morning and just go from one scripture to another that has to do with prayer. But we're not going to do that. We want to look at the Lord's Prayer. And hopefully, it'll be a little more meaningful to us when we use it in our services. Someone asked, whenever we pray, should we use the Lord's Prayer? I don't think so. Sometimes I pray for other people in the hospital or some places. I don't always use the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we do. But I don't think we always have to use the Lord's Prayer in our praying. But it's nothing wrong with using it. So let's take this prayer. Our Father. How wonderful that we can call God our Father. He's the Holy One. He's omnipotent. In Romans 8:15 we read, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage or slavery again to fear, but we have received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God." Of adoption, an heir, whereby we can cry, "Abba, Father." Abba is an Aramaic word which corresponds to daddy or papa. Isn't that wonderful? We can come to him in prayer just like that, just like as he'd be our papa. Have we ever, as children, squeezed our dad and said to him, "Daddy, I love you. I'm glad you're my dad." We can come to the Lord in prayer anytime. Anytime. Not everybody can call God our Father. One day there was Jesus said to some people, "Ye are of your father, the devil." I don't want that said of me, do you? Our Father. Secondly, our Father who art in heaven. Who is in heaven? Where's heaven? We don't know for sure where heaven is, but we do know that God isn't keeping heaven for himself. He is calling out a people to share heaven with. And we want to be part of that. He talks about a kingdom here a little later, and we're going to look at that too. Part of his kingdom. The third one is, hallowed be thy name. Holy or sacred. In the Black Hymnal, I'd like for you to turn to that. Number 2. In the Black Hymnal. Hallowed be thy name. Holy and reverend is the name of our eternal King. Thrice holy, Lord, the angels cry, thrice holy, let us sing. The deepest reverence of the mind, pay, O my soul, to God. Lift with thy hands a holy heart to his sublime abode. With sacred awe pronounce his name, whom words nor thoughts can reach. A contrite heart shall please him more than noblest forms of speech. Thou, holy God, preserve my soul from all pollutions free. This pure in heart are thy delight, and they thy face shall see. The self-existent one, hallowed be thy name. Number 4, we want to look at thy kingdom come. It's a heavenly kingdom. And if we are his this morning, I'm going to tell you, you're part of that kingdom. When we pray for his kingdom to come, we're praying for his reign to begin as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're looking forward to that. Right now, it looks like Satan's kingdom is ruling. But that's going to come to an end. I guess we have to be patient. God's kingdom shall prevail. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing. All glory to God. I'm the child of a king. Number 5, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus prayed for his Father's will to be done in Luke 22. So should we. If we love someone, don't we do our best to please them? If I love Jesus, then I'm going to try to please him. Thy will be done. It's not our will, it's God's will. If we want to help build up the kingdom of God, then it's his will. Then we read in heaven. Some people say in heaven. Some people say own heaven. I think they're both correct. When we talk about in heaven, in earth, not heaven. Some translations say on, but when we interpret in, I believe that means in our inner being, inside of us. And then when he talks on earth, I believe that we're praying, we just wish that every It's our desire that everyone would be saved. Everyone would come to Jesus. The object then of this first part of the Lord's Prayer, I believe, is learning that His glory and His kingdom are of more importance, more consequence than our wants or our desires. Number 6, give us this day our daily bread. Notice the word us, not me. We're dependent upon God for our daily food. How graciously He provides. We can count on Him to give us. Let's not forget to thank Him for today's food. Listen to what Psalm 37:25 says. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I think I skipped one here. Bread in the scriptures means our food. How many of us children were out playing already and we suddenly realize that we're hungry or thirsty? We come running in saying, Mother, I am starved or I'm thirsty. And I wonder today if we're thankful that we have plenty. It's God that makes things grow and ripen. Sometimes it almost seems out of place when we pray the Lord's Prayer in public services like this, give us this day our daily bread. But I'd like us to remember to be thankful that He has made provisions for our never dying soul. Let's bow our heads in prayer, even at a restaurant. Forgive us our debts. We all want to be free of debt. Those of us who have paid the last payment on a debt are really happy about that. We're glad. It makes us feel good. It's a good feeling to make the last payment on a house or on a car or whatever we borrowed money for. But when God pardons us, forgive us our debts, takes away our debt of sin, when God pardons it, He's going to forgive. He will forgive. You know, I'm glad for that because we could never repay the debt we owe. Not the labor of my hands could fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All these for sin could not atone. And you know the rest. Thou must save, and thou alone. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only the initial sin problem, but our relationship with Him on a daily basis. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I wonder sometimes how we would fare if God would forgive us as we do. Think about that. If God would be forgiving as we are forgiving. And listen, there's no yes buts. You don't know this person. Yes buts, no, not them. We need to be forgiving. Number 8, lead us not into temptation. I believe the key word here is into. Don't lead us into temptation, Lord. Do not suffer. Permit us to be overcome in times of temptation. We're going to experience temptations of various kinds. They're going to come. But our prayer should be for deliverance, strength to say no, courage to stand firm. The songwriter says he'll carry us through. I love that. Number 9, deliver us from evil. Although men and women have tried to live good and clean lives, and there are some, it's foolish for us to try and live on our own. You ever find that to be true? It's no use we try and live our own way, on our own strength. We need Jesus. We pray, God, deliver us. And when we pray that, we can't put our heads in the lion's mouth and tickle his throat to see if he's going to bite us. In other words, we don't want to invite temptations. They're going to come, but let's not put ourselves in that place of temptation. And then pray at the same time for God to deliver us. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we can conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. Do we appreciate his protection? Sure we do. I think it's right to pray for a wall of protection or a hedge around people that have special needs. The person or persons may not see that lion lurking in the shadows. Deliver us, O God, from evil. Thine is the kingdom. Why does he use this phrase twice? He talks about the kingdom coming. Now he talks about thine is the kingdom. What is a kingdom? I believe a kingdom is a group of people that are governed by a king. There are quite a few kingdoms in past times in the world, but there's one kingdom of righteousness that we want to be part of, ruled by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The saved ones are part of this kingdom. He rules our lives. Don't you want to be part of that kingdom? God's power is unmatched. If God has such power, why then is there so much evil and sin going on? Why in a marriage separation that the person that's a victim almost always gets the worst deal? Why did God allow 6 million Jews to be slain before he stopped Hitler? I don't know the answer to some of those things, but I know one thing. Jesus does have power. He had power to raise people from the dead, and he could heal the sick. When I think of the children of Israel's deliverance from Egypt, I think about God's great power. I mean, I can think of a lot of things, and so can you. Of God's great power. But just imagine this congregation leaving Egypt. But there were thousands, and God supplied the needs for them all. But the most important power is the power to heal and forgive a poor lost sinner. Like me. What saving power? What keeping power? His glory. Glory belongs to God. I often wondered about what glory means. I'm not sure if I can even explain it now, but I have three different definitions for glory. Glory belongs to God. Beauty, power, honor. It's a quality that's God's character that emphasizes His greatness and His authority. Now, looking at this glory in three different aspects, God's moral beauty and authority, the divine character, is beyond our understanding. In Psalm 113, 4 and 5, and then Psalm 88, verse 1, we find this kind of power. Psalm 8, 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Now, another definition of glory, I believe, is God's visible glory. And we find that pretty well in the Old Testament at the pillar of fire. In Leviticus 9, 23 and 24. I won't take the time to read that. You might want to look that up. And then in the New Testament, glory has been shown mainly through the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3, 4 says, when Christ appears, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then the glory is going to be seen everywhere. That's God's glory. In Revelation 21, 22. Now, glory has another meaning. I think sometimes we bring glory to Him with our praise. When we behold God's glory in heaven, too, I believe we're going to fall down and worship Him on our faces, just like the children of Israel did one time when God's glory was known. And then it says forever. Forever. That's a hard word to comprehend, isn't it? Forever. No end. We're going to live forever with Him. God is forever. Some writer says that God doesn't count days by years because there is no night there. It's going to be forever. Brother Fred comes over that still, I think, sometimes that there's no end. There's no end to being with Him forever. May we pray this gem of the Lord's Prayer with more thought and more meaning. May we be able to give a sincere, heartfelt amen to this prayer. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, but I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but I got everything that I had hoped for, almost in spite of myself. My unspoken prayer was answered, and I am, and so are you, among men, richly blessed.